Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Yeah. Eric, it has been a while since we've been together in this office.
It's so true. I mean, you guys might have seen my tweet where I was like crying, like Lisa Rinna reunion crying after the bunny incident, because I hadn't seen Megan since, what, last Wednesday or something?
Which doesn't seem like a long time, but it feels like forever.
Right, when you're used to being around someone every day. I mean, you were out working from home Thursday.
Yeah.
Right? And then I was out Friday.
Yeah.
Was I out Friday?
I was out Friday.
You were out Friday. You were out 2 days in a row. And then I took yesterday off, or I was working from home, quote unquote, because I moved.
You moved in with Danny.
I moved in with Danny, and we have a great new apartment. Sunday was an absolute day from hell, where it was like 14 hours of lugging boxes, and I'm bruised. And my arms are sore, which means I need to work out more, but I got a good workout in that day.
Eric also showed me a photo of him post-moving or mid-moving in like a tank top and a hat. And he's like, do I look super masculine?
Do I look so masked right now? I mean, I had found this hat that was like a New York Giants hat, and I didn't know what to do with it because I don't really wear them. But like when you're just finding these items that you forget you have when you're moving and you're like, why do I have this? I was like, I'm just going to wear it for the rest of the day. I thought I looked kind of cool.
And you did. And if you could send me that photo, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, fair. Well, we have a very exciting episode this week because Real Housewives of Orange County is back.
Oh, so good.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it. Plus, we're going to talk about Southern Charm because this season is coming to an end very soon. And Below Deck Med.
We have interviews with Aisha Scott from Below Deck Med, Tamika Lee from Southern Charm New Orleans, and Johnny and Michelle Damon, who were charter guests this episode on Below Deck Med.
Real Housewives of Orange County is back.
Yeah, should we talk about the taglines?
Yes.
The tables have turned, and this time I'm dancing on them. These days, faith, family, and fitness are the only F's I give. I've made mistakes in Orange County, but I'll fix them in a New York minute.
In a town full of blondes, I'm legally brunette.
I managed to wrangle a family of nine and still look like a 10.
If you don't want me to cross the line, don't draw one.
Okay. My first thought is producer Sarah had said, will Kelly Dodd's tagline somehow reference, you know, those accusations that Vicky made last reunion and that come up in this episode?
Right.
I don't do cocaine. Sorry.
I don't do cocaine either. You say you do cocaine? You want to take a piece of hair out of my hair and you can do a drug test because I don't do it.
And while she didn't fully, she did say, if you don't want me to cross the line, don't draw one.
I think it could be a nice little allusion to those accusations from a Miss Gunvalson. But also, I think that's the weakest one of them all.
I personally, and I don't think you agree, but I like Tamara's the best.
I didn't like it initially when I just heard it for the first time. But now that I think about it in terms of Tamara and who she is, I really appreciate Gina's, the New York Minute reference.
Because
I also appreciate we don't get too much of her accent like we did in last season's tagline.
Just because I talk funny.
It sounds funny when I say it. So I do appreciate that because it also does reference a little bit of the difficulties we're going to see Gina go through this season. Emily's, a nice little reference to Legally Blonde.
Right, except she's legally brunette, although she does have a lot of blonde in her hair this season.
There's a lot of highlights going on. Shannon, dancing on tables.
Although someone in the office was like, can we make a rule? No more tables references. You know, it's like, well, I'm turning
tell Lisa
the tables.
That, okay?
The tables have turned, yeah.
Plus, Bronwyn.
Oh, love hers.
Love her. Love her tagline. Family of nine.
And she does look like a 10.
It really is incredible. When I first saw her in this episode, I was like, oh my God, there's no way.
But also, I wonder if anyone else out there thinks that she looks a little bit like Catherine Edwards, who was a one-season wonder on Bev Hills.
Oh.
But also maybe just like a lot of housewives.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something
there's
to
be said.
There's
a certain look they all have.
Right, just blonde lips. Plumped, you know, but she really does. She looks fantastic. Okay, well, let's talk about the episode.
Okay. I am really happy that Shannon seems to be fun Shannon again.
Yes, there is a significant change in her, and you can tell just by the way she's presenting herself now. There's a confidence that we lost in the last couple of years, which is totally understandable given what she went through.
Of course. Ugh. And I have to say, I watched a few episodes ahead. And like, really, it's not just one of these, a little snippet about how she's better. Like, she really seems like old Shannon again, which I love.
Well, she said it herself in the episode where she was like, I had to change what was inside to change the outside. And I think that's huge. And I think that's a really big life lesson for people who are going through something and maybe feel like there's, you know, there's are physical effects to your emotional reaction to things. So it's important to just remember that she was going through so much emotionally with the divorce and everything that she really realized she had to fix what was going on inside. And she did it. And she looks amazing.
As someone who saw the milkman in person, because he came in right with Kelly to do an interview, I'm a little surprised at her new boyfriend.
Yes, I think there is a lot to unpack there. And the first thing I wanted to say about that was when she was going to meet up with Shannon and she was on the phone with him, she was like, oh yeah, I'm going to meet up with Shannon, because she wanted a single friend to go out with. So she's on the phone with her boyfriend, referring to herself as Shannon's single friend.
Right.
Oh, I'm on my way to meet Shannon for a few drinks. She wanted us to be single together. I could be her sidekick and give her some game.
So as much as she's like, yes, we've been together 3 months, like, I'm in love, like, this is it, something seems like maybe she's not as committed as she's presenting herself to be. Right?
I mean, maybe.
And it has only been 3 months. So, like, at what point are you still considered single? I mean, he seems to be the one who dropped the boyfriend.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, we're together. And he mentions it like twice in this episode. And Kelly's still referring to herself as the single girl. So that's kind of interesting.
But she does say they're in love.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not who I would have predicted for her.
Right. He's a handsome guy. It's just sort of like, I don't know. There is something about Kelly's personality that I feel like needs to bring in a different kind of energy. And I don't think
like
he has
it. It feels like she needs a younger guy.
But that's not the milkman.
I feel very badly for the milkman, because they keep showing that snippet of him where he just sounds like an idiot.
Tacos.
Taquitos.
Burritos.
Nachos.
Listen, those are all things I love and I talk about all the time.
We don't need to list them out.
right.
Like, while you're on camera.
Yeah, we get it. Tamara.
Yeah, new house. Gorgeous.
Beautiful new house. So I think I had said at this point a few months ago that Bethany's Hamptons house was like my dream house. But now that I've seen this new place that Tamara moved into and the way it's decorated with that sort of Cape Cod modern feel, I think I found my new dream house.
Plus, it has 2 security gates.
Oh, exactly. And I need that because I need to be protected.
Right. And at all times.
From my crazy fans. I mean, I guess I could have a dream house on the West Coast and the East Coast. I think that's fair.
I know that fans often get upset when political drama sort of seeps into Bravo shows. And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am happy that we're sort of talking about this dynamic in Tamara's family where she has 2 sons who are at complete opposite ends of the political spectrum.
Yeah.
And like how it's actually caused a rift.
Absolutely. I think it's huge to talk about. I mean, given everything that's going on right now, but also just speaking, like you said, to the very essential fact that it is dividing families. Like, I think more so than ever, politics are an issue that have come up within so many families. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see it play out on the show and to know that Tamara and maybe other people on the show are not necessarily Trump supporters.
Well, I don't know.
Right.
She was very noncommittal in her
answers. She was like, I'm not really into politics, but I think you need to fix what's going on with your brother.
Poor Emily.
Oof.
By the way, I see in your notes you wrote Shane, and then it's an emoji of just like, what would
you
even call
this
emoji?
Like, ugh, like UGH, just like a ugh. And I think that's what came up as the default. So I just hit like go because I was taking notes on my phone.
So it's an ugh face.
It is. And I feel like we knew that from the previous season.
Yeah.
You know, Kelly called him a little bitch. There's something to be said about the way he just speaks to her. And I think it just goes to this fundamental idea that he has always felt like the man. I mean, he was her boss at one point. And I feel as though that dynamic maybe carried on in a way into their relationship and into their marriage. And I was having severe anxiety just watching her on the phone FaceTiming him. And the kids are like, they need her to open chips. They need this. They're like jumping on her. They're pulling at her. They're so young that they still need that kind of attention.
Literally my worst nightmare is like the life she's living at this moment. Because that's too much for one person. And then to have, like, at first when he FaceTimed her and he was like, you look great. I was like, aw. But then it's just the way he's talking to her, and it's the jokes about he's at his girlfriend's, and it's just like, you should be kissing her feet right now because she's literally running the show so that you can study.
Try to pass the bar for the third time.
And she did it on the first. Boop.
Right? So it's another thing, like, for Emily to be so supportive of him wanting to do this yet again. And being like, I'm going to let you do this. Go ahead and study. I'll take care of the kids. I'll take care of things here at the house. That's so huge and such a big sacrifice on her part. Maybe he should consider another career path. And maybe that is something that she has talked to him about. I mean, going for the third time, you want to support your partner's dreams. But you also want to manage the expectation of like, well, what are some of the other options? Because this is a lot of pressure to put on Emily. It's a lot of pressure that he's under, obviously, too. The bar is difficult. But leaving her in this situation, I think, is really tough.
Whenever we do talk to her this season, I just am so curious to know how she got him to do another season. Because I feel like he got so much hate last season. Why would you sign up to do this again?
Maybe we'll only really see him on FaceTime this season.
I mean,
because he'll be studying so much.
Okay, Bronwyn.
Bronwyn.
Love her.
I love her. First of all, I need to know more about Dr. Deb.
Oh, right.
I need to know more about Dr. Deb because there is a lot going on there.
That photo, though, of her in a bikini.
Obsessed.
Holy shit.
We are going to get, I think, our new kind of Marlene-y, like, secondary character that we're obsessed with in Dr.
Deb. Sort of like Lydia's mom, too.
Yes, exactly. I feel like there is so much that we're going to see from her, so I cannot wait for more Dr. Deb in my life. But also, I think we have a new hot house husband.
I know. Especially when she was like, he has a kinky side no one knows about. And I was like, huh?
You're like, tell us more, Bronwyn. Well, that's what, add that to the list of questions to ask her when she comes into the office.
Right.
She has 7 children spanning from like 4 months old or whatever, the tiny
Hazel.
Baby. Hazel. To 18. Which means she has been breastfeeding for, what did she say, 15 years or 14 years?
Something insane.
Wild.
Wild.
What would you do with that many children?
You know, I always thought I would either have 8 or none. And it seems I've gone with the none.
So far.
But, like, I think there are times where I'm like, oh, a big family could be fun. More chances for you to like your siblings.
That's true. And spanning that wide of an age range, the 18-year-old can, like, help take care of the younger ones. And then, you know, there's sort of enough people in the house to help manage chores and just whatever. Like, that many people in the house, you need people who can
also help. You want
them
as, like, your hired hands.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm reading that book, Educated, a memoir right now, which is about like a Mormon family and this woman who grew up in this family, and like all of her siblings were in charge of like going out and like feeding the horses. You know, like everyone had a job.
Is this a good book?
So far, it's really good.
Oh, okay.
But it is very much like Little House on the Prairie. Like everyone has their task. Everyone has their chores. So I feel like that's a little bit of what it's like in Bronwyn and Sean's house, because there's so many of them. You need help.
As an only child, did you even have chores?
No.
And they're like, what can we do for you?
Yeah, no, I didn't really. I mean, I think I like had to clean up my room and do that sort of stuff. But I don't remember ever like taking out the trash.
Oh my God.
I know. Now that's all I have are chores. Especially with this move. That's all I'm doing is taking out trash. Well, so far, Bronwyn has also she's come in through Kelly.
Yeah.
And she's met Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And Shannon
liked her.
4.0 Shannon liked her right off the bat.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that.
Glad Gina's back, by the way.
Me too.
I love Gina.
I kind of forgot, not that she got the DUI, but it was that long ago. And right. that this season would have started right around the time that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we started off right with a bang with her.
Yeah. I just know that this is going to play into, like, many more episodes. It's one of those things where it's terrible it happened. And I think Emily, I agreed with her when they're sit down and Gina, she's like, yeah, like, I am disappointed in you. You should never have gotten in the car. At the same time, though, you and I were just talking about, like, the things you do when you're inebriated that you feel such guilt for. I can't imagine making that big of a mistake.
I know.
You know, the way that I imagine she's punishing herself for it.
Right. Oh, and Shannon brought up a good point, too, saying last season, Gina was saying stuff about Shannon drinking by herself, having vodka while on vacation, and referring to it as self-medicating. And I think there's some hypocrisy there because that's what we see Gina going through right now, which it's kind of understandable. I mean, she's having a rough time, but to take it to that point, it was just like, it was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And I think too, just, you know, thinking about DUIs, I feel like it is such, I don't want to say a common thing that we hear about in the media with celebrities and all sorts of things, but remember, like, think of like 2007 when it was like
every day,
Lindsay Lohan, Paris, Nicole Ritt, like all of these like celebrities left and right were getting DUIs. Yeah. And I think we were almost
desensitized.
Yeah. Just like thinking, oh, it's a DUI, whatever. These celebrities will get out of it. But it really, to Emily's point, can have a huge impact on your life.
Yeah.
And imagine, you know, if there was a custody battle that Gina was going through, like Matt could have easily used that against her. Which we kind of saw David did to Shannon when it was like all about her self-medicating and drinking herself to sleep every night. So Gina was kind of lucky coming out of the situation the way that she did. And I think it kind of scared her into being like, wow, I need to take a step back.
Right.
So Gina, we're rooting for you.
So I got the chance to sit down with Aisha Scott from Below Deck Med. She laughs a lot and so do I. We talked about how she got onto the show, which Below Deck members she does not keep in touch with, and gives an update on her relationship with Jack. Plus, we play a game of Dirty Minds with her. You won't want to miss that. Here's the interview. Aisha Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks!
And welcome to Below Deck Med.
Thank you!
How did that opportunity even present itself to you?
I was working in, how did it come about? Oh, so I've got a bunch of girlfriends. So growing up, everyone was always like, you need to be on TV. And I've always wanted to be on TV too. So I've got a bunch of girls and they would always try and find me like applications for different reality shows. And then one of them who works in yachting, through a lot of different conversations, managed to track down the email. And she was like, check your phone. I've got the email for the casting agent for Below Deck. And so, yeah, straight away I sent her, you got to send in an application form. And I was like, bugger that, I'm going to send in a video. And then 30 minutes later, they were like, we need to Skype you. And kind of just went from there.
Yeah. Are any regrets?
No, none at all. It's been the best thing of my life.
Really?
Yeah, it's been the coolest thing ever.
That's so cool. What did your family think?
Oh, they were just like, finally the world, Aisha can be like unleashed upon the world. They always knew that it would happen somehow. Yeah.
Now, are they all as dirty as you are?
Oh, yeah. Where do you think I get it from? You should hear my dad. Family dinners are like the dirtiest thing you could ever hear.
That's so funny.
It's awesome, though. I love it when we have guests around and they're just like sitting on the couch, just like crying, laughing, and they're like, did he just say that?
I feel like working in such a small space is very stressful, and like I see how the other personalities on the boat really clash, but nothing seems to faze you, really. I mean, was there anything or anyone that even ever annoyed you?
Yeah, I think I'm really lucky to just have a very sunny and relaxed disposition. Like, even in normal life, like, nothing really bothers me. I think the only thing that annoyed me was obviously the little tensions, shall I say, that I have with Joelle. But other than that, everything was absolutely fine.
Yeah. Did you watch last season?
I didn't until... I had never watched any Below Deck until after we finished filming.
I didn't even know
what I was doing, really, when we were filming.
Well, I think sometimes that's better, you know?
Well, yeah, I definitely think it was better because it gave me the opportunity to go in and have my own first impressions of people. Like, I didn't go in with any predispositions of how I think people will be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Did you notice a big difference between Joelle last season and this season?
Nah.
You're like, no, I thought he was a dick.
I think I know he's trying, but nah, he's said comments to me one too many times to say yes.
Like what?
Well, I think it all started when, I think he is trying. I'll give him that. I don't want to be a total mean person, but it started when we were in the crew mess one day and he said, "You claim to have a double science degree, but I haven't heard one smart thing come out of your mouth." And I was like, excuse me, like, I don't have to prove my intelligence to everyone. I know I'm smart. So, and yeah, it kind of just started from there. And then from then on, I just felt very like, he just kind of let it be known that I was being very judged, like, every time I'd kind of say something.
Mm.
Which, you know, like, you guys know me, like, I couldn't give two shits, like, what people think of me. So it's like, back off, save it for someone else.
Right. Someone you did get along with. Jack.
Yeah, Jack and I got on so well.
You're attracted to him as a brother.
Yes. I think at first because I wasn't interested in him and he was like really trying to chase me around, but at first it was really just a friendship. Like, we really just clicked so well. Like, we're both so silly and playful and relaxed, and it was just nice to have someone on board like that that I felt like I really bounced off really well. But then I think as time went on and when he asked me on the date, I was like, oh, I'll give him a chance. I'll go from brother to lover, maybe.
Your brother lover. Cool. Yeah.
Mr. Brother lover. Oh, I've never slept with any of my brothers.
For the record.
Just FYI. It's never crossed my mind.
Everything but, right? So are you and Jack still brother lovers?
No. Yuck. We need to use a different term. No, we're not.
Okay.
No.
Just friends.
Yeah.
Cool. Are you kept in touch with everyone from the yacht?
Most people, obviously not Mila. I reckon she works as a Russian spy and she's gone back to the agency. I don't reckon it. No one's heard a wink from that one. But I think everyone else pretty much I've kept in touch with. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Even Joao?
Oh no. we were in LA at the same time a couple of weeks ago and I was, you know, I was the bigger person and just bit my tongue and that kind of thing. But then afterwards the episode came out where he called me whorish and I was just like, that's right. No more bigger person anymore.
Fair.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious, what was maybe the most difficult charter that you worked on this season?
The most difficult charter? I feel like none of them were really that difficult. I think the most difficult part was there was a few different charters that had like really irritating women on them. And that would probably be the hardest part. Just like for the health of my ears. You get those women who are just always like, ah! Oh my God! So there was one charter which was pretty funny when I got spewed on. So that was, but I'm glad it happened to me because I just thought it was real hilarious. But
were they just drunk?
I guess it could be rough. It was hungover and he had just finished eating all of his breakfast and I was like coming up the stairs to check on them and as he was sprinting down to go spew in his bathroom. And so I was kind of like, oh, sorry, sorry. And then he's like, bleh, and just spewed like all over me. It was so funny.
Oh my God. You should have gotten.
But luckily, like as it started coming out, I went like that.
Yeah.
And so it like hit my hands and then sprayed outwards. So yeah, it didn't get on my actual face. Just the surrounds.
I feel like you should have gotten a bigger portion of the tips that charter.
Yeah, right? Oh, I God. And then the poor guy, and then he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, and then ran back upstairs and did it overboard, and then... And then did the rest on the camera guy.
Oh, no.
That was down on the lower level and, like, just did it, like, all over his head, all over the camera and, like, oh.
Jesus, why not just stay in one spot and get it all out?
I know. Like, there's drains on the side. Just, like, go and bend down into the drain.
We have a dirty game we want to play with you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have such a dirty mind.
Yeah.
It's only fair.
Yeah.
So it's a word game. You're going to guess what I'm talking about. Okay. With these sexy clues. Cool.
Okay, yeah.
I'm a protrusion that comes in many sizes. When I'm not wet, I drip. When you blow me, you feel good. What am I? She's just dead. She's dying.
A nose.
Yes! Okay, second one. I cause you to spit and ask that you don't swallow. I can fill your hole.
Oh, I ask you to spit but not swallow. Oh, dentist.
Yes.
Yes.
A finger goes in me. You fiddle with me when you're bored. The best man always has me first.
What? What on earth? The finger goes in and the best man hit. Like a bogey or something?
It's a ring.
Oh! I never would have gotten that. Thank you.
All right, last one. I start with an F. I end with a K. If you can't get me, you have to use your hands.
If you can't get me, you have to use your hands. I've got no idea.
Fork. You did really well.
Did you write those yourself? Oh, man. That is good. I'm going to use those.
So before we end, any dirty jokes you can share it with the listeners?
Dirty jokes. I honestly, I'm really sorry, but I don't. I'm one of those people where I'll listen to a joke and I'm like, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. And then 10 seconds later, it's completely gone.
Perfect. So,
isn't that funny?
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Southern Charm.
Yeah.
Would you ever go into business with a friend of yours? Because this is an issue we hear Chelsea talk about early in the episode.
Yes.
Would you ever go into business with Madison?
No.
Because I feel like I understand where Chelsea's coming from with all of that. Because I have seen, in my experience, friends go into business together and it really ruin everything.
Really?
Yeah. My first job, like, out of college, it was, like, bad. But I think to Chelsea's point, too, you could probably, or I think it's actually her dad's point that it's not impossible, but Chelsea, I think it might be a good choice to stay away from Madison.
Yeah, I don't think that I would choose any friend that is in any way dramatic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that's a good person to go into business with.
Exactly. What do you think about Catherine being in love?
Good for her.
Right.
But, of course, I'm always going to be, you know, a little protective, mm-hmm. especially knowing who she has liked in the past.
Right.
So.
Well, you guys remember we had Catherine on a couple months back, probably at this point, and she had broken up with the politician man that we saw earlier this season and was with Hunter at that point when she came into the office. The two of them have been together for quite some time now. And I wasn't sure if we were going to get to see him at all this season, but we will next week in the finale. So I'm excited to see how that plays out. But I think you can tell just by the way Catherine's talking about him, by the way she just, in her interview when she's explaining it, you know, you could just tell that she's really taken by this guy. And of course he's a singer. Like, wouldn't anybody just be charmed, Southern charmed, if you will, by a singer? I mean, he's got a great voice.
There's something that, like, I want to talk about with this episode. For example, the way the allegations were sort of handled last episode. But then you get in this episode that Shep was like, oh, I know that Austin's a sexual deviant.
Right.
And Cameron's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, he wrote out in Rose's butt stuff, ?
I know, but what could that be?
Maybe he's like a deviant. Maybe he's like a sexual deviant.
Oh, I know he is. I've got so much information, but I don't use it.
What? Say
nothing.
It.
Nothing. No, I can't. It. No, I won't. I will say not it. Fight fire with fire.
Do it.
No, I can't do that.
Say it.
On Valentine's Day, he spelled butt stuff ? In rose petals on the bed, and she said okay, which is kind of an amazing move.
What?
Yeah.
And you should also recognize the way he reacts to it. He gets so, like, immaturely giddy and whatever, being like, oh, butt stuff, and then, like, she did it, whatever. And it's sort of like, okay, come on. That's not, number one, that's not sexual deviancy, and, like, that has so many larger implications, because that is, like, illegal in some countries and people are persecuted for that. But it's just so, I think, an example of perhaps their upbringing.
Maybe.
Their conservative upbringing and this sort of idea that sex is taboo, that you can't talk about it. And certain acts and certain things are just like, oh, no. You know, it is the Bible Belt. There's just things, there's so many layers to it. They use it against each other in such an inappropriate way.
It is not sex positive.
Right. And it just going back to even everything with, like, Whitney and Catherine, how he's denying sleeping with her.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of, what does it matter in the long run what everyone's doing behind closed doors? You know, obviously with Madison's accusations, that had larger implications because she threw a lot of people under the bus in that moment. But the rest of it is just sort of like, why are you making it a taboo thing to have butt sex? There are a lot of things right now, even in the present, that are going on with Shep that are quite controversial. And I think for him to not trust Cameron's advice about the real estate, because as much as she is, like she said, in the top of her firm in terms of real estate, he did not trust her advice about buying property on a swamp. And then all of a sudden got like a less value or whatever, and was just sort of, she was like, why didn't you believe me? And he was just like, oh, I don't know, how did you know that? She works in real estate. That's,
I know,
her literal
it was
job.
Such a, ugh, that really made me groan. Something else that really bothered me about this episode, Eliza's outfits, just this whole season, what is happening?
Are you referring to post Fox Hunt?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
She always looks like she's in her PJs.
Right. I think it's that kind of rich debutante girl, but wants to come across approachable and cool. You know, I mean, I think she's trying to shed a little bit of that maybe stigma that she feels like she grew up with. And so she wants to be like, I don't care about my appearance. I'm just cool. Take some tips from Catherine, because she shows up every episode looking fierce. Even if she's in her, like, at home and in her comfy clothes, she looks amazing. Well, I do want to talk a little bit about the fox hunting thing as well, because I was with Craig on this whole thing about, I don't know.
I was like, you were with Craig?
I was with Craig over the weekend, and we were talking about it. No, I was with Craig in terms of him saying, I don't understand what we're doing, because there are no foxes. The hounds are chasing nothing. The horses with the people on them are chasing the hounds. What's the point? And I didn't even...
And they're drinking cough syrup?
Right, they're drinking like Manischewitz or something before they go, some kind of sweet wine. I don't really understand... I get there's traditions and culture and whatever, but it reminded me, like, Downton Abbey is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
And I remember they go fox hunting on Downton Abbey. And that was in, like, 1916 or something that they probably went on the show, because it starts in 1912. So to think that it's still going on today, just as this kind of weird tradition, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing this? And then, first of all, it's freezing. And they're just on this, like, hayride thing. Like, it just,
hey, they're
all...
tally-hoeing, okay?
Tally-hoeing. I mean, it seems like it's a big part of Eliza's upbringing, so I kind of understand that. But it just, I'm with Craig, like, what was the point of all of that?
I was with Catherine, who was like, I feel like Eliza just Googles Southern things to do.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, what did you think about Ashley's apology to Catherine?
I just don't buy the fact that you're trying to be nice to me right now. I think that...
Listen, we will never probably speak again after this.
I hope.
I owe you an apology.
It was never my place to say or do what I did.
I actually felt it was a very sincere apology. Now, I guess sincere is not the right word. I felt she did a really good job of apologizing and saying all the right things. Did she mean it? I don't know.
See, I think she meant it, but didn't say all of the right things.
Oh, okay. Why?
Well, I think they're not speaking the same language. And I think Ashley's the one who says that after the apology is over. And I think it's right. I think Ashley doesn't choose the right words for Catherine to receive. I think Catherine knew what she was trying to say, but Ashley wasn't quite getting there. And I also just think there's no real apologizing for that. And I think when Ashley set up the conversation, she sort of was like, I had no right to talk about the way you parent your children. But it wasn't like she was just criticizing her parenting. She referred to her as an egg donor.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just saying, she said such horrible things to Catherine that there's no way that will ever go away. And it was also kind of interesting that Ashley was saying, if I see you around, I want to be able to say hi. I want to be able to, like, talk to you. And I mean, at this point, we know Ashley has moved back to California. So chances of her running into Catherine are probably pretty slim. Maybe not at the point that she had the apology. But I think there's just never going to be any common ground with those two. So as much as Ashley did put in the effort, and I do appreciate it, I think it's a lost cause.
Oh, for sure.
I also really appreciated Catherine's line. I just want to feel safe and normal. I was like, I want that stitched on a pillow or something. Because that feels like that's how we all want to feel.
Safe and normal.
Especially safe from Ashley.
Mm. So on the Southern Charm After Show clip this week, Eliza, Cameron, and Austin talk about Ashley's behavior during the fox hunt. Allegedly, she got so excited to see Cameron, she spun her around.
What?
Cameron wasn't excited about this, and she explains why. Let's take a listen.
In Ashley's mind, she doesn't always understand what's going on. It's like Ashley's an Ashley world.
I don't know. Naomi's a great sounding board, but Naomi is also like Team Catherine. I think she probably misunderstood her, and I think that she rewrote the truth in her head. I mean, I think that that happens.
She came up to like everyone and was like smiling and like on display. It was the weirdest thing
I think she like doesn't read the room well.
She picked me up and twirled me around. Did they show that?
I'm like, you're like favorite. I like you. I want to like kiss you.
Oh God!
You.
No! Help!
I'm gonna let y'all make out now.
Help!
She's What's so happening? Tiny. You're Ashley, so. Why are you so tiny?
You're taking this what? Too far. Yeah, she actually physically lifted me into the air and spun me around. Saying, I know we can be friends. I know we can be friends. And I was just like, and then she chased Chelsea.
Why are you so tiny? You're so tiny.
Don't pick me up.
I'm going for you next.
Don't be getting off right now. Stop. Please don't chase me around this pool. That's weird.
After she put me down, I think she was trying to grab Chelsea.
And Chelsea started running?
And Chelsea started running.
That's amazing. Good for you, Chelsea. She's like, ah.
I wonder what Ashley thought of Cameron's impression of her. Because I thought it was pretty spot on.
Oh, I loved it.
Catherine, let's role play, okay?
Okay.
I'm Ashley.
Catherine, I just wanted to say that I hope everything is okay. I just wish you the best.
I think you should focus on you right now.
No, Catherine, you're not listening to what I'm telling you. You're not listening, Catherine. Catherine.
My coattails have holes in them.
Catherine.
You're not listening, Catherine.
It makes me laugh.
I interviewed Southern Charm New Orleans' Tamika Lee, and she tells us more about Tamika 2.0, gives us some updates on her friendships with both Reagan Charleston and Kelsey, and her go-to places to visit in New Orleans. Plus, she reveals how her and Real Housewives of Potomac's Gisele Bryant might be related. Let's take a listen. We are here with Tamika Lee from Southern Charm New Orleans. How are you?
I'm good.
Tell us about Tamika 2.0. Who is she?
Who is she? Have we found her yet? Tamika, look, 1.0 was, and I've said it from the beginning, my schedule was a hot mess. I was up early for my morning news. I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's nothing good that comes out of that, right? Wound tight, short fuse, aggravated with everything. My marriage is on the rocks. My friendships on the rocks. Everything was just on the rocks. I was a horrible mother, everything. So I needed to be better. So Tamika 2.0 is just it's me. I'm here. I just listen more. I'm calm. I'm getting sleep. And I mean, you still get all of me. It just comes with, maybe not so quickly.
Right.
But it'll still come.
Okay. So have we seen this season so far, Tamika 1.0 popping out?
Oh, 100. I'm trying to keep her in, and I don't know what to, I keep trying to say, Tamika, calm down. Like, this is not the moment to do this. Let this breathe. Let these people try to figure this out. Let your friends, because I'm so controlling, and I'm so 100%, and I'm all in, and it's draining sometimes. It's like, enough. I get tired of myself, but I don't know how else to be any other way.
Right.
This is it.
This is who you are.
This is who I am. I'm like, love me or hate me, in my life or not my life, this is what you're going to get.
Right. Well, let's talk about in and out of your life. So where is your friendship with Reagan today?
Today. And I say we are working on it. It's so cliche. We're working on our friendship. But mm-hmm. We are working on our friendship. We had, you know, normally Reagan and I, we fight like sisters. You know what that means, which means the loyalty at the end of the day is going to be there no matter what. Right. And yeah. We would bicker, and like I would do with my brother or my husband. This threw me for a loop.
Right.
All of it. All of it.
Yeah. I think you weren't the only one.
Like, but I'm finding out like you guys are. Okay. Yeah. So I'm, you know, I don't know how to be picked up and dropped off as a friend, especially for me being so loyal and so 100. I was not down for it, and I didn't like it at all. And once somebody shows you who they are, you kind of have to believe them. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for us to get back to where we were. I don't know if we'll ever get back to where we were, but I love her, and she loves me, and we want to be friends. We want to be better. I think she sees things now in hindsight. I think motherhood has changed her, and so we'll see, you know.
Yeah,
we are working on our friendship.
Have you met her baby?
I did, baby Reese. Cute. Yes, which I'm so hard to say, baby Reese, because I'm like, I want to do this to Reese. I want to shake him.
Right.
So it's like I see the baby, and I'm like.
So what is your relationship with Reese like? Because he is such a new mm-hmm. presence in your life, but yes. An old presence for her.
Right. For a while, I didn't want to know Reese. I didn't want to know him. I just felt like I didn't want to know him for what. I don't need another complex friendship. Because if I know him, then I have to go there with him. And I'm already in a situation right now with Jeff and Reagan trying to figure out this whole situation.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how things end up. But, like, I don't know. Reese is funny and he's cool and he's great. I don't think about him, and I'm not invested into, like, spending time with him right now.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we've talked about it a bit on the podcast that even for me, it all seems to be happening so fast.
So fast.
That, like, I can't, don't even feel like I can keep up. So I can't imagine for you and everyone else involved how different it must have felt for you, especially watching what Jeff went through.
Reese should have been like, stop. I don't want to do this with you and your, like, they're going to hate me. Like, Reese should have just told her to stop.
Yeah.
You know, and this is why I feel bad. And I felt bad for him. I'm like, no one's going to like him because she's introducing him through the back door. Like, there's no, let the dust settle in your relationship. She should have just let that, you know, play out. If he's going to be there tomorrow, yesterday, 8 years ago, he's going to be there in another 2 years.
Right.
Like, just calm down. But I think pregnancy kind of fast forward a lot of things.
That is fair.
And that was the shock of the year.
Well, speaking of the shock of the year, we saw Jeff's reaction at Friendsgiving, which honestly, Tamika, broke my heart. Like, I felt my heart stop when I saw that moment. What was it like being present for that? And you had said that you thought he might have known already.
Well, I mean, look back at what was happening. So every time that she dropped a bomb, every time we were together, I'm thinking I'm going to be the first one to know things because, you know, I'm the closest to her. But actually, no, your ex knows before everybody. You call Jeff to get his blessing on a marriage. That's weird.
Right.
You call Jeff to meet Reese before. You call Jeff to tell him you were engaged. I just was like, so we all knew she was pregnant, but we're like, Jeff must know. So that's why when he's sitting at the table and he's having this moment, honestly, in the moment, I'm like, no, but you knew. So stop acting like you didn't.
Right.
Like, I was kind of being like, no, Jeff, you knew, right? And so I guess I didn't realize till he threw the plate of food, the owls and all.
The owls, John.
That John and his interpretations of everything. I didn't realize that, like, when he did that and he gets up and I'm like, oh, I don't think he knew. And Barry's hand literally is under the table grabbing me, like, Tamika, stop.
Right. Like,
because I'm just pushing and pushing and doing what I do, which is, I feel so bad after, but I thought he knew.
Well, do you think that news should have come from Reagan at the end of the day? Because it came from Doug, which was like, I understand their friendships, but like.
During Friendsgiving, like before we break bread and give thanks.
Right.
Like, no, wrong
not
time.
Not the best time.
Not the best time.
No.
Like, and he was so happy before. Like, he just was so proud of cooking and getting the house together. And it was just like this moment of like, you can see it. You can see Jeff was happy and doing, because Reagan is the hostess with the mostest. Mm-hmm. She can throw a party. She can plan a pie. She is everything. And so for Jeff to do this was like, I'm so excited. And then for Doug, not the time or the place.
Right.
Seriously. And then to leave us all, we were, by the way, it showed, I think, but we were there probably 2 minutes. No, it was like an agonizing, like, long time.
Like waiting for him to come downstairs.
He could not get it together. Ugh. It was bad.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. No one knew why. We just figured something was going on.
Well, how was the food?
The food was great. Benny's great. Like, Benny, like, Benny Poppins is popping. It was great.
Well, that's good at least.
all continued eating. You can see us. We're all starving. We're like, this is like, not new news.
He left. We're going
to
keep going.
But you have to understand, like, the friends are over it. We're all over it. Like, there's, so anything that's happened, or when you say Reagan's name, it's a trigger now for everybody.
Yeah.
John, Justin, Rachel, Jared, Barry. We're over it. So any news that's dropped, we're like, okay.
There it is. Yeah.
Whatever. Like, what's next? When we don't have an announcement, we're shocked at this point.
Right.
So
I don't know if there's many more to come. I mean, we got the baby now, so like, I don't know what's next. You're like, I don't know. I don't care.
I think she's over announcements. I think it's every time for everybody else in their announcements. But right. Yeah.
What about you and Kelsey? We saw you guys kind of get into it at that housewarming party, but you seemed to kind of work through the issues and you were like, look, the only reason I'm acting this way is because I do care about you.
Yeah.
So where are you guys today?
Working on our friendship. I have a lot of things to work on. No, you know, I'm a girl's girl, and it seemed like I hated her, and it seemed like I hated her because all you saw was a one-sided reaction for like 3 episodes was me eye rolling and losing my mind. But what no one, you know, saw was Kelsey is not a part of this friend group. Like, she wasn't a part of like the core of this friend group. So we would all get together and kind of talk. Kelsey would walk up and just like say the most random, because she was so aggressive, and say the most random things, and we're like, what do you? Right. And so my reaction was like, you know, what? Like, I was always that girl, and then she would run and play victim to Justin. So she would poke the bear. I want to be invited. I want to be in. I want to be a part of. And then the minute that like I barked at her, she runs to Justin and she's like, Tamika's being mean today. I just couldn't take it, and I'm like, you're just going about it all the wrong way, because all she wants is a ring.
Right.
I've said it over again.
Well, she made it pretty clear.
Well, she has made it very clear. She has moved to New Orleans. She's did the renovations of the house. She picked the couch. She's doing everything that needs to happen, and there's no movement. And so she's frustrated.
Yeah.
And so she wants any part of Justin to get a rise out of him to just defend her or to be – and I'm just – so I had to stop. I'm like, after the house – warming when she just for no reason. I mean, everybody was loud. Am I loud all the time? But everyone was loud.
Right.
John talks at level 10. Yeah. So was it necessary? Was it necessary for her to push and try to get me out? No. But and so I was like, you know what? I'm done. There's no more fighting. I'm just going to tell you exactly what I feel and how I feel. And that's, that was that.
Well, I liked what you said to her too, because you were kind of like, you are stronger than you think. Like, you were almost trying to empower her more. Like, why can't we stand up to each other?
Right.
You know, like, it doesn't always have to be, you have to run off.
That's what I told her. I said, you've given me no reason not to like you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to prove anything to me, but you should be redirecting that towards your boyfriend. And look what happened. She's pushing, she's asking questions and she's pushing it. And I'm like, all right, Kelsey. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a girl's girl. I want everybody to have what they want.
Yeah. I want to ask you, too, about Barry. So you talked a couple episodes about you know, with Hunter getting a little bit older, mm-hmm. there's like the sex talk, there's mm-hmm. like the speeding ticket. Mm-hmm. So has Barry gone ahead and sat down and talked to Hunter about these things?
Yes, because I made him.
Right.
But yes, he has. And I hate that it was almost late. Like,
yeah.
he had to get the speeding ticket for you to have the conversation. And like, he's probably, I don't know, if he has put that thing in somebody, I'm done. So I don't even want to know about it, but it's probably like too late. Like, we should be having these conversations. Like,
right.
I've had the conversation with Rainey. We have sat down and we have talked. I took her to a brunch. We did a birds and the bees brunch because, you know, I like to drink. So I figured if I was champagned out.
Oh, yeah.
Then we can talk.
Right.
So that's what we did.
How did it go?
Amazing. Yeah. She said, you did that with Dad once for me?
You're like, uh-huh. Once. Just once.
Just once. So, yeah. No, but it's uncomfortable for Barry because he's had no guidance.
Right.
No father in his life, and he doesn't know how to have those conversations because no one had those conversations with him. And I'm like, I can do it. And he's like, no. Let me do it.
Right. I'll handle
it. So it was either me or like he had to. So he did it.
Did he do like a birds and bees like bro out? Is that what
no,
it was?
No, I think he met Hunter where he met Hunter, which was like on the court. And, okay. You know, you got to come down to a kid's level of like their comfort zone and talk to him.
Well, and beyond like the birds and the bees thing, you know, they brought up kind of like being a young black man and getting pulled over and how very real that is in today's sort of world. So I think it's really about drilling home that bigger picture thing too.
Bigger picture. You know, Hunter's super, you know, privileged of sorts. We give him a very great life and he doesn't see everything. So he doesn't know, he doesn't go to school and hear what has happened in the world or what's happened to his friends. They don't live that life. But you still are a black kid and you could very well, you know, be in a situation you can't get out of or a situation with your friends you're not supposed to be in, or it could be a trigger with your smart mouth for something to happen. So we just wanted to be aware of like all of it. And that's why those conversations for me are important. And even when I decided to do the show, I was adamant about if I'm opening my house and you're going to, you know, show cameras on my kids and my family, we're going to talk about everything that we're talking about, which is, you know, self-awareness for Rainey and her hair and being a black boy and a real marriage of sort. We're not perfect. We've been separated. We filed for divorce at one point. We have struggles. Every year it's something new. So hopefully you can identify with some part of that.
Yeah, no, that's hugely important to share your story that authentically because mm-hmm. I think people really respond to that.
Yeah, I know people think that like, oh, you know, because it's a world of social media and filters, and people will look at Barry and I and our family be like, oh, they look perfect because we, you know, aesthetically look perfect of sorts, if you may. But we've worked really hard and we have ups and downs and I can't get it together half every freaking event. Somebody says, shut me up. Somebody said, they need Susan every episode to just tell Tamika to shut up. That's the only person that can do it, or Barry.
Somebody's got to wrangle you in, right?
It's Barry because it's like, take it down.
Do you happen to watch Real Housewives of Potomac?
Yes.
So do you know Gisele Bryant?
I do know Gisele. Met Gisele. They came to New Orleans for a New Orleans trip.
Yeah.
And we were actually at the white party.
Okay.
We were all in the background. I don't know if they didn't show us at all.
I feel like we saw you maybe for like a second.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I think I know her.
Barry.
Or maybe it was
me,
Barry.
Justin, and Kelsey and Reagan went.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I love Gisele's dad. He was a hoot.
So we're all related. Like, I feel like Gisele's dad knows, like, my grandpa and uncle, and, like, they went to school together. It's, like, this weird New Orleans Creole world. So, yeah.
And that was actually a really important trip for them to go on, too, because mm-hmm. they went and visited the plantations. They talked more mm-hmm. about family history. So to your point of, like, really showcasing, you know, mm-hmm. the reality of a lot of people's lives, mm-hmm. I think they made a really good point of doing
that. Yes. I love Monique. She's my fave.
Oh, yes. Monique is great.
She's, like, my friend till the end. I'm, like, a lot of advice and talking through.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Who else from the cast? Do you know anyone else?
Monique, I talked to Monique probably. We must text all Sunday together, just like ever at everything.
Right.
And then, but she reached out to me when the season one. So we've been friends since. Candace, I talked to her a lot. And then I met Karen last year. I love her.
She is wild.
Love her. I met Robin too. So Robin, like Instagram, like we'll like each other's stuff and comment. Like I know all of them and I don't find any. I met Katie too. It was really funny. So
Katie's another wild one.
Yeah. Right. I was like, we're the same height. That's, you know.
Right.
But no, it was, I'm not, I don't have to deal with them of sorts. I just talk to Monique a lot.
Right. You have your own people to deal with.
Do you see what I have to deal with?
We sure do.
It's a lot.
So I wanted to get, as we wrap up, Tamika's guide to New Orleans. So if you needed to pick like 3 to 5 things for like someone who's going to visit the city for the first time, what would you recommend they do?
All right. So let's see. Now, I always say this. If you land in New Orleans and then you experience it, you get back on the plane and you're going to say, what just happened? And I'm going to say, New Orleans just happened.
Right.
It's New Orleans happened. So, I mean, it depends on what time of the year. Because there's Mardi Gras, then there's like Jazz Fest, and there's like the Saint season, and there's a summer when you just want to get out and don't want to be in the city of New Orleans because it's so hot. But you have to get a brunch. A jazz brunch is essential. So, like, you can do a Commander's Palace, which is like, I call it like that old money uptown, you know, jazz brunch, or you can go straight to, you know, Cafe Chafalaya, which is off Magazine, and get like the grit. They have a Bloody Mary bar. Love that. You need to go to like one of the museums, like the World War II Museum or NOMA, or we just have really good museums in the city. While you're doing that, get a snowball, because that's always good, or daiquiri, because that's even better. Then meet me to get a French 75, because that's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Make the best cocktails. You can't go wrong with food. Anywhere you go, you're going to get full and probably sick because it's so good. You should definitely walk around the quarter during the day. Don't go to Bourbon Street at night unless you just want to do it, but like everybody's done it.
Right.
Go to French Quarter during the day and shop. It's really cool and unique, and it's clean and it's like friendly and kid friendly. So it's really cool to do that. What else?
Cafe Du Monde.
Cafe Du Monde. Inhale.
Right.
Inhale. Don't exhale. You will look like you've been doing drugs. It'd be white powder everywhere.
So true.
Cafe Du Monde is a must. I mean, it's all food and drink. It's just, and the people are just the best. Of course, you can go see Robin Barnes at Snug Harbor in the Marigny, which is on Sunday nights. So any kind of band, jazz band, is always great. Live music. I don't know.
Suggest people like go out of their comfort zone for food? Because when I went to New Orleans for the first time, I tried turtle soup and loved it.
With the sherry on it.
It was so good.
You should do it.
People are like, what does it taste like? I was like,
you gotta get alligator. You have to get, it's things that, yes, you have to try. Trust me, it's battered and slathered in sauce, so you will never even like know what that you're eating, like, you know.
Right. You can't go wrong. Really.
You can't go wrong. It's really good. You got to get gumbo. I know Leah Chase has just passed away, but I mean, Dookie Chase is amazing. So it's just all the iconic places. I don't know.
That was perfect. That was a great guide. Yeah, we're going to write that out.
It's just food.
Just eat and drink.
And then call me.
Awesome.
For a cocktail.
Thank you so much, Tamika.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming in. Below Deck Med.
Boop, boop, boop.
I actually really loved this episode.
Is it because it had Johnny Damon in it?
Well, I mean, Johnny Damon, yes, of course. But what I loved about it is it kind of really highlighted the adventurous side of what they go through. Mm-hmm. I mean, we start off with scuba diving, this underwater adventure to like save the anchor from the like anchor that came from the deep, you know, like I thought that was super cool to see them in that element because it's like they're off the deck, they're below deck literally. Then we have the whole moment of them docking the boat in that really tight squeeze, like you see all of them working really hard together. It just reminds me like that these guys are incredibly talented and we're really seeing the deck crew like at their best in this, and it's just, I think it's so cool.
You're such a boy. You're like, I live for the adventure and action.
It was reminding me of like video games, like that I played when I was little with like Tomb Raider, when you're like swimming in the water, like going on an adventure. Like there was just something so cool about it, I thought.
You liked the adventure, but I liked the drama.
Oh, okay.
And that happened when that drunk yacht owner came over and wanted to talk about how America is pulling out.
Well, first of all, I love that he was credited as adjacent yacht owner.
Right.
So we knew he was like right next door. He came over, acted a fool, but also Hannah said she used to work for him. And they bleeped out his name, so blurred his face.
I worked for, in my very, very first season, didn't particularly want to see him when I was working for him, so I certainly don't want to see him now.
How are you doing? I am Norway.
I'll never forget, his son came on who was 4 years old and I said, you can't wear your shoes on deck, you know that? And he goes, they're not shoes, they're Tods.
So I want to know way more about that situation.
Right.
And you guys remember we had Hannah on a couple weeks ago, but if I had known about that, I 100% would have asked, like, give us the tea on this guy.
I wrote down Johnny Damon's wife, yikes. And the first thing you said to me is like, I loved her.
I mean, I felt she was auditioning for like Real Housewives of
Jersey.
For sure. She comes, like, they come on the boat and she's like, my husband's not going anywhere. Like, don't even think, no, this is my boat. Like, I loved it because when someone is to the point of where she was in the drunk state. Right.
Spectrum.
Yeah. You are just, you are possessive over your things. You're possessive over your area. And as soon as someone starts to invade that, like, that's when you just, like, are cut loose.
It's so funny. I've never thought about that, but thinking back on all the times my drunk friends have gotten angry at other people, it's because someone was like invading their space. Right. Like, not even like their personal space, but just like, who does this bitch think she is? She's in my goddamn apartment.
Right, exactly. I mean, you're on a dance floor, someone bumps into you too many times, you're like, this is my space on the dance floor. Or if you have a table, like bottle service at a club, and someone tries to like sneak into your table, you're like, no, I'm paying $240 for this bottle, which I have not done that in a very long time. And I only like free bottle service, but.
Oh my God.
But that I also haven't done in a really long time. But yeah, it's just like when you come into someone else's space, you're like, no. And what was he, what did he think that Johnny Damon was the president of the United States with all of his like harassment about like, you guys, you Americans, like as if Johnny Damon and Michelle had like, full control.
I appreciate your feedback. Right. We are going to speak to the president at once. Right.
He's like, I am a baseball player. So, I mean, maybe he was referring to like, I don't know what that guy was talking about, but Hannah, if you're listening, let us know what his deal is.
Totally.
I want to talk a little bit, too, about Anastasia and how I feel like we've seen her get very arrogant.
So arrogant.
And at this point, she's probably been chef for, what, 2-3 charters at this point? So that's only the span of, what, a week? And I think when she came in initially as a third stew, I really liked her. I thought she was cool. She was coming across like a really nice girl. And then all of a sudden, I think it got to her head really quickly.
No, like the second
that
she was told she'd be working in the kitchen. Oh my God, it was crazy.
And I think everything she's made so far has sounded really delicious, but it's also not that crazy. Like she is doing Italian. I mean, she's making some food that looks really amazing, but especially with this charter in particular, there's a lot of things, little things that have gone wrong.
Right.
So check that arrogance. And also for her to be like, Captain Sandy stole my thunder.
Oh, I know.
Is Sandy stealing all my thunder?
You're joking.
It's not Captain Sandy's fault. The guy, the charter guest was the one who was like, forget this meal. Like, I want to talk about Captain Sandy's docking the boat or whatever. So like, it wasn't even like Sandy came out and begged for praise. She just happened to do a really good job. So it's just like, Anastasia, you got to check yourself. I also interviewed MLB legend Johnny Damon and his wife Michelle Damon, who you also might recognize as the most recent charter guest on Below Deck Mad. They spoke about Johnny's quick friendship with Colin Macy O'Toole and their rose and thorn of the vacation. Plus, he answers if he'd ever work on a yacht. Here's that interview. Okay, guys, we are here with Johnny Damon and his wife, Michelle, who were guests on the Below Deck Med Charter. Hi, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
Great.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Thanks for calling in. So was this the first time you guys vacationed in the south of France?
Yes, it was. And we were so excited to be able to go. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, really pretty.
How did you find Sirocco? How did you get connected to the crew?
So one of my friends, she's a friend and business partner, got an email about it, and then she forwarded it to me, and it basically gives you a description of the boat and the trip and everything about it. So then I talked to Johnny about it, and then we talked to a bunch of our friends, and they were like, oh, yeah, it's a really cool show. It's all about the crew. which made Johnny feel better. So it didn't have to be about him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. We kept expecting the camera to be in our face, and it wasn't. So
they were like, "We're not interested in you guys."
It was like a really good opportunity, really good vacation, and definitely the location was a big reason why we were like, "Heck yeah!"
Right.
So it was a lot of fun.
I don't think it got mentioned in the episode, but one of the big things with charter guests is like your food preferences and like your preference sheet. So do you remember filling any of that out, and were there any kind of weird things that you guys had requested?
Our big thing that we requested was truffles, because we both love truffles and being there, but mostly we said we wanted to experience more of the local cuisines, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Like kind of, and we didn't want to have American food like cheeseburgers or tacos. We just wanted to have like more of the local, whatever, I guess, delicacies.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Things that you wouldn't normally be able to get access to just at home.
Right.
So when you got there, you first met the crew. What was your kind of initial impression when you arrived?
First impression was we're going to have a great time on a crew. On a cruise, and that was pretty much it. They all looked professional. Getting to meet Captain Sandy was great, and we were just looking forward to a great trip.
Yeah, I feel like everybody was really like relaxed, but you know, obviously when you first walk up and they're all lined up, you're like, "Whoa, this is kind of intimidating."
Right. Well, you're just staring at you,
and you really. Yeah, and you really don't know what's going on unless you watch the show. Like, we had no idea that a couple of them went on dates. And we're totally oblivious because they do keep everything professional. And they, what we're seeing on TV now, we're like, whoa, that was going on. And it didn't even occur to us.
Yeah.
Right. But, you don't see what's going on below deck.
Right.
Yeah, because now we're watching and we're like, oh, that's interesting. But everybody was really nice and, I would say like definitely helpful and always asking if you need anything. And one of our friends had a recommendation. He just wanted a beer in his hands at all times. So
don't we all?
That was kind of fun. Yeah. But that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Johnny, since you were on the Yankees for a couple years, and Colin being from New York, did you two kind of connect on that?
Yeah, we sure did. We talked about some baseball, and he's definitely a baseball fan, not just a Mets fan. And so it was great. I also love seeing his Instagram when he's when he raps. So, he's got some talent.
Yeah, he's so funny. He's such a nice guy.
He was hands down just incredible.
Did you guys have a favorite part of the boat that you enjoyed spending the most time on?
Oh boy,
the water sport.
Yeah, I mean everything was so great on the boat, but you know, just being able to sit outside and you know eat fruit and have drinks wherever we ended up. Was the best spot.
And the views. Yeah, it's like, I feel like being able to go there and kind of having a view from the water is much better than being on land. You can't really see everything that we were able to see, right?
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful.
One of the big things this season was Anastasia stepping up as the chef on the boat because the previous one had, you know, left. There was a bit of a, you know, situation, as you guys may have seen. So, you know, she really stepped up her game, and it was huge for the rest of the crew and obviously for Captain Sandy. So what did you think of Anastasia's food?
You know, I thought it was all right. We were on a boat, so I know it's difficult. I know I had to send back a rare steak. Mm-hmm. But you know, that stuff happens. You can always undercook and still get the steak right, but once you overcook, so I get it. I wasn't too upset, but we did get some weird delicacy that we probably asked for, but it was disgusting. It was like a sea
urchin. Well, we were afraid to taste it. It was like a spiky thing, and then it had like a raw like cold stuff in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's a, I think it's a sea urchin. I remember seeing her prepare that. And I was, even me, like, I was like, I don't, like, delicacies are cool, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, that was a little too delicacy.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Did you have a favorite meal? Was there anything in particular?
Well, breakfast was always great, you know, waking up, hanging out with the friends early in the morning, and that was great. But the food, like I said, the food was all right.
But your favorite was breakfast.
Yeah, my favorite was breakfast, for sure.
It's the most important meal of the day.
That's right.
We do see you at one point, Johnny, helping to bring in the jet ski. So do you think there's perhaps a future for you in yachting?
Yeah, I mean, we've owned a boat before. I always just seem to fail to take out all the lines that are tied to the top.
Well, now we have a lake boat because we live on the lake, so it's a little bit easier.
Okay.
Yeah, and we know how difficult it could be to get jet skis in. I mean, if you have the wrong momentum, and those things, you have to turn off by the boat, and they don't steer once they go slow or once they turn off. So I'm just used to helping out. We have three wave runners at home, so we get it.
Right. So looking back now, just discussing a little bit about the crew, you guys said, you know, when you arrived, you didn't really notice that there was any kind of drama because they were all so professional. Do you think, like, looking back on it now, you can notice certain relationships or behaviors or any drama that might have been happening behind the scenes?
No, I think we had an idea with Jack, and they were dating. Or they went on a date. So we tend to see her a lot more than...
Like, you thought maybe they liked each other?
Yeah, we thought maybe they liked each other, but I think that was about it.
Right. Well, Jack is quite a flirt, so I think it's kind of obvious, right?
Yeah. That's true. You wouldn't know. He could have been dating all of them for all we know.
Right. Well, we play a game here on the podcast. It's called Rose and Thorn, and we basically pick, you know, our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing. So if you guys had to pick a rose and thorn for your trip, each of you, what would you select?
Rose meaning good. I would say the water sports. I mean, that's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. The slide.
What about a thorn?
And what's your thorn?
A thorn. We kept running out of beer. They had smaller bottles, so I mean the beers would be done in a minute, and Michelle would keep saying, "You're done with that beer already?" I was like, "Well, I can't drink it warm." So
I told Hannah to put water in the beer and trick them.
They'll never notice the difference, right?
Yeah, they were small beers. When that was funny, because like I think before we even it was not even halfway in the first day, they already ran out of beer.
Oh my God.
And Hannah was like, seriously, we brought on like so many cases, but the guys were like, but they're so tiny.
Well, now that you guys have gone south of France, what's next on your list? What's another destination you guys want to hit?
I mean, Spain would be awesome. Thailand would be great since I'm half Thai. But, but the Caribbean would be... Like, the Caribbean water is so dang beautiful everywhere.
Like the BVI, and our favorite, probably.
And a little closer that, you know, we possibly could bring a couple kids.
Just a couple.
Yeah, it's just the flying part. Like, if we could just transport ourselves straight to the yacht, that would be perfect.
Right,
like,
right. Just have it pick you up on the lake.
I would say that would be my thorn is the traveling to get to the yacht.
right yeah,
but once you're on it, it's awesome.
Yeah Well, you guys should consider, you know, we also have Below Deck with Captain Lee and Kate Chastain, so there's definitely another yacht waiting for you guys if you're ever interested.
Okay.
Nice.
Oh, that'd be great.
You just tweet at Captain Lee, he's very active on Twitter.
Okay. But we love Sandy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's fantastic. Well, thank you guys so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad to hear you guys had a good time.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Okay. Thank you, yeah.
Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
I have two roses, both from Real Housewives of Potomac. First one is Monique's new interview look that we got in this episode, because she was giving me like Donna Summer diva vibes. Yes. And I thought it was so amazing. The hair, like the like tiara she was wearing, like beautiful. And then my second rose is Robin's look at the gala that they went to that they had no idea what it was for.
Right.
But that dress was like so amazing with the short hair, the blonde. I thought Robin looked so incredible.
She did.
And also, like, I'm just going to throw Katie in there, too, because she just, like, makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
What was your rose?
My favorite thing is the face people make when they have either a shot or, like, are tasting something they don't like. Like, that face. It's very specific when you drink something. And so Craig's face when he was drinking the cough syrup alcohol just made me laugh.
It's, like, the opposite of an O face.
Right.
It's, like... the worst.
But speaking of O faces, I had the most graphic sex dream about Craig.
Oh.
The other day.
Interesting.
And that's my real rose.
That is amazing. And I think that is my new rose, is your rose.
Yeah. What was your thorn?
My thorn came from Below Deck Med, and it was Joao just cracking into that lobster and breaking it in half as it was alive.
So sad for them.
Ugh.
And like, you are a vegetarian, and you know that I have struggled with my pescatarian ways, gone back and forth on meat and dairy, whatever, for a while now. And that was definitely a trigger for me.
No, I do eat fish, though. But yeah, like, it's so hypocritical of me, because I would not have been able to kill that lobster.
No way. No way. I remember as a child, like, someone in my family boiling lobsters alive and, like, hearing them.
No! Don't! I can't!
I'm sorry. But it's, like, and it just, it's all coming back, and it's just kind of reiterated to me. I just couldn't help but think about the lobster roll I had last week for
I'm
lunch.
Done.
You know?
I'm just strictly vegetarian now.
I am vegan.
You've decided
for
me.
As of this moment on. Which also, I can't believe Anastasia is vegan. And she's like cooking all of this stuff. Okay, what was your thorn?
My thorn was Catherine's outfit and her being like, I was channeling Beyonce's formation.
I was channeling Beyonce formation. That's what it is.
Boom.
I'm glad Pippi's here.
No, girl. Like, I agreed with Ashley's assessment.
That she looked like Pippi Longstocking. Because
yes.
I had written in my notes, like, you, Ashley, for thinking she was Pippi Longstocking because she was channeling Beyonce, obviously.
No.
Now, do you think she just didn't pull off the
right,
look?
Correct. She looked like the chimney sweeper's wife or something.
Oh, my God. I thought she looked great.
Okay.
Next week, we have Shannon Bedore and Steve from Faces by Bravo. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag BravoDailyDish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.